Right, beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, and we're continuing the type of series where we have Kasher B'Kohanim, Pasul B'Levim. What's okay by the Kohanim doesn't work by the Levim. Kasher B'Levim, what does work by the Levim is Pasul B'Kohanim. That there's different qualifications for a Kohen versus a Levi, and they don't overlap. And so now, again, we have a Braita that's brought immediately after the Mishnah that explicates on this, which is Tanur Banan. Kohanim B'Mumim Plusulim. Kohanim are disqualified through mumim. That's the list of items that are mentioned in Parshat Emor that disqualify a kohen from avodah. Bishanim ksherim, although age makes no difference, meaning that the age of a kohen is not relevant to his service in the mikdash. Leviim bemumim ksherim. Leviim, it doesn't matter. Mumim are not impactful with regards to the avodah of the leviim. On the other hand, bishanim psulim, they do have an age restriction as far as Levim are concerned. Nimza, so therefore that's the result of what's mentioned in our Mishnah, which is Kasher B'Kohanim, Pasul B'Levim. That which is no problem by the Kohanim, age, is problematic by the Levim. Kasher B'Levim, that which is okay by the Levim, meaning Mumin, which don't make any difference, Pasul B'Kohanim. They are problematic for the Kohanim, because Mumim are Poslim by the Kohanim. Menahane Mile. Where do we know this from? Titan Rabbanan. Zot Asher L'Levim. Ma Talmud Omar. What does it mean that this Zot is a mute? Zot Asher Levim. Feishin Emar, because it says by the Levim, Umi Ben Chamishim Shana Yeshuv, that after 50 years, there is a forced retirement from working as a Levi. Amanu Levim, Shashanim Poslim Behen. I see from that that the Levim are impacted by age. I mean that once they cross the age of 50, they're no longer allowed to be involved in the Avodah. Yechol Mumin Poslim Bahen. And you would think that just like age is impactful, so too Mumin are impactful. But dinu, Uma Kohanim Sh'ena Shanim Poslim Bahen, Mumin Poslim Bahen. By Kohanim, where age is irrelevant, yet still Mumin are impactful. Levim Shashanim Poslim Bahen. Levim, on the other hand, where years do make a difference, Enu Dinje Mumin Poslim Bahen. And certainly Mumin should be impactful. Tamad Omar, that's what the Pasuk says. Zot Asher Levim. Zot Levim, Venacheret Levim. Zot is a mute, that this is the only disqualification of a Levi. The only way he gets disqualified is through aging out, versus Mumim, which will not be impactful. Yochel Yoei Kohanim, Psulim Bishanim. So you think, now go the other way. Now that we know Levim are solely disqualified by age, maybe you can learn the other way around, where Kohanim, who are disqualified by Mumim, then they should also be disqualified by age. Because Alodinu, Uma Levim, Shem Mumim Poslim Behen. By the Vim, where Mumim don't make an impact, Shanim Poslim Behem, then years do make an impact. Kohanim Shem Mumim Poslim Behem, Kohanim which do have an impact from Psulim, Enu Dinche Shanim Poslim Behem, certainly age should be impactful. Tamalomar Asher Levim, we saw the same pasuk that we're bringing before, which is Zot Asher Levim. So Zot is, that's exclusively the only Psul by Levim. And then Asher Levim means, Velo Asher LeKohanim. This is only uniquely associated with the Levim, not with the Kohanim. And therefore, the Kohanim don't have a disqualification of age. So each one independently has a disqualification. The Kohanim are disqualified by Mumin, not by age. The Levim are disqualified by age, not by Mumin. Yochol af bishilo ubeveto Mumim king. You would think that this has application not just to the Mishkan. The information and the psukim that we're using over here relate to the Mishkan and the Midbar. So you would think that that also would have application by Mishkan Shiloh and by Beit Olamim, by the Beit HaMikdash. Tomad Lomar, La'avod Avodat Avodah, V'Avodat Masa. So over there, the jobs of the Levim are described as being Avodat Avodah, which the Gemara in Arachin says is Avodat Shira. It's an Avodah, Shetzricha Avodah Acheret. It's an Avodah that requires other Avodah to be associated with it, which Rashi claims means the Nisachim have to be brought. You only sing Shira while there are wine libations going on. Or others say that Avodat Avodah means that there are others that help the Levim, and there's an accompaniment. There's musical instruments, there's something else helping the Levim out. Others suggest that Avodat Avodah references to the Shmira that the Levim did, although that's less likely in the context of the Mishkan, because that's really a job of the Shoarim and Shomrim that they did in the Mikdash rather than in the Mishkan. But nevertheless, there's Avodat Avodah, but there's also Avodat Masa, which is the carrying, the dismantling of the Mishkan and the carrying of the Mishkan that takes place in the Midbar. So Amarti El Bizman Shavodah B'Katef. It means that this limitation is qualified by the fact that it has to do with avodat masa. So only at times when the Levi'im are doing masa b'katev is there a restriction on age. So this automatic retirement age is correlated with avodat masa, avodat b'katev, which means that only in the midbar, where you have a portable mishkan, is this relevant. Once you reach Shiloh, where it's a quasi-permanent structure, and then obviously the Beit HaMikdash, where it's a fully permanent structure, over there, that's not relevant anymore, and we no longer have any age restrictions when you get there. Now, in the Midbar, it's not only that you're disqualified from Avodah B'Katef, but you're also disqualified from Avodat Avodah. I mean, there's a hekesh between the two, which is that when you're disqualified from Avodat Masa, you're also disqualified from Avodat Avodah, which would be Shira. The way the Ramban describes it in the Torah is that it's a gzeira almost, midoraita, which is if we let you continue to sing, then they were used to also doing avodah b'katef, and then you're going to jump in and help out with the avodah b'katef when you're disqualified already. So in order to prevent them being involved in the avodah b'katef, they also restricted the shira, or you could just say that it's the retirement age. It's a single retirement age for everybody, even though you're still qualified to do the shira, and maybe not the avodah b'katef. Nevertheless, that's something that already at the age of 50, we take everybody out of service, and then you let the newcomers take care of whatever needs to come about. The Gemara says over here, Katuv echad omer, one pasuk by the Levim says, Mi ben chamesh v'esrim shana umala. That the Levim are counted, litzvot tzava, which is from 25 years and older. V'chatuv echad omer, mi ben shloshim shana, that it says from 30 years and up. Yev shalom mar shloshim, can't say 30 years is when they start to work. Shekvar ne'amar kafe, because it already said esrim chamesh shana, already said 25 years. If you have the mark of, hey, it's impossible to say in 25 years, you find out Shloshim. They already said 30. How do you reconcile the fact that the Levim are counted twice, one starting at the age of 25, one starting at the age of 30, implying that in one place they start working at 25, the other place they start working at 30? Ha-ketzat, how do I resolve this, reconcile this contradiction? Kafei lumot, at 25, they go into service, that's begin their stash. Ushloshim la'avodah. And then when they hit 30, then they can actually work. So they have a 5-year stash. So apprenticeship, mikan. From here, the Gemara suggests, the Talmid shalura siman yafeh b'mishnato hei shanim. If you have a student who's been learning for 5 years and doesn't see success in his learning after 5 years, shuvein rueh, don't count on it changing after that point in time. And that 5 years is a good test period in which to see if someone has an aptitude for it, has the ability to pick things up, to remember things. And this is something that speaks to them. 5 years is a good test cycle, and that's based on this idea here that there's 5-year stage that the Levi'im did. Now, in terms of the actual ages of the Levi'im, it's interesting that, first of all, it's Midyuk in the Pasuk, and the Ramban points this out of the Torah, that it says, by the Ben Chamesh Vesrim Shana, Umala, it says, Litzvot Tzava. Over there, it does not say to do Avodah, but rather to join the multitudes. Which is that he now joins a service of Levi'im, but he's actually not doing avoda. It's only Miben Shloshim Shana where it actually mentions that he's doing avoda. It's actually Miduyok in the Pesukim that 25 is joining his brethren, the Levi'im, whereas the 30 is actually when he goes into service with Levi'im. The other thing is the Mishnah in the Avot, which says, Ben Shloshim Lekoach. Right? 30 years is when a person reaches their maturity in strength. And obviously, Masaba Katef, which is what we're speaking about here in the Mishkan, the strength is a big part of it. So from 30 to 50, that's the key area of the strength of the individual, responsible strength, would say. And therefore, from 30 to 50, that's when the Levi'im are in service. And then there's the forced retirement at 50 because of the Masaba Katef. There's physical engagement with that which they're doing. And so therefore, Avodat B'Katef is associated with those ages between 30 and 50. All right, so now, the Tosfot over here deals with a question about the Gemara's positing the possibility that that which applied in the Mishkan should also apply in Shiloh and in Beit Olamim. And Tosafot points out an inconsistency in Shas, which is sometimes the Gemara assumes if a din applies in the Mishkan, it also applies to the Mishkan Shiloh and applies to the Mikdash. Other places in Shas, like the Gemara in Shavuot, the Gemara in Nidah, says, well, now I know that it's true by the Mishkan. How do I know it's also true by Shiloh, also true by the Mikdash? And it forces the necessity for another pasuk. So how come over here it just assumes that, oh, maybe it should apply. Whatever happened in the Mishkan should also happen in Shiloh and Beit Olamim. Where's the other pasuk to include it? Where's the ribui to say that, oh, it also applies there? So Tosafot tries to come up with an explanation that divides between the different aspects of when do we carry something forward from the Mishkan to other areas like Shiloh and Beit Olamim, and when do we say, if you don't have another Ribu in the Pasuk, we're not going to carry it over. He says, V'teretz haravenu natano be'irvin lo tzarich kra l'migdash de'ikar drasha bala migdash de'mishkan lo yudaltot. So the drasha in Eruvin, I'm not going to get into the depth about what the drasha is there. Here, Tosafot brings a numerous drashot about this, where they require two limudim, one for the Mikdash, one for other places, and other places where they don't. What he points out is that in Eruvin, the main limud is about doorways and opening the door for the korbanot in the morning. He says in the Mishkan, there really aren't any doors. Doors are really related to the Mikdash. So even though the din is learnt with regards to the Mishkan, it's clear that it has application to the Mikdash, because it's speaking about a concept that's really only relevant by the Mikdash. Baha hacha desvarahi im lo haya pasuk shi paslu af bishilo beit olamim ho ve'eno talui b'kdushat ha-mishkan. He says, similarly over here, it's different than those other places, because if you didn't have a pasuk that specifically said that it was associated with the avodah b'kateif, then you would have assumed that whatever's true in the Mishkan is also true in Shiloh and Beit Olamim. There's no reason to distinguish, because he says the ages of the Levim have nothing to do with the Kedushat HaMishkan inherently. Certain dinim are connected to Kedushat HaMishkan. Then when you say that, then you have to think, does that apply by Shiloh? Does that apply by Mikdash? Over here, where it's nothing to do with the Kedushat HaMishkan, it has to do with those that are in service. And so why should their service be different in the Mishkan than it is in Shiloh and than it is in the Mikdash? And therefore, you would have assumed that their age limitation should apply equally. Just like it applies in the Mishkan and the Midbar, it should apply in Shiloh, it should apply in Beit Olamim. That's how Tosafot tries to overcome this problem as to why sometimes we're willing to extend the halacha, and other times we're not willing to extend the halacha, and it really has to do with the uniqueness of the case as to whether it's something that just seems generic or is more applicable by the Mikdash, versus other times where it's a halacha connected to Kedushat HaMishkan, where you're going to need another pasuk to specifically indicate to you that it applies by the Mikdash as well. All right, now the Gemara brings an alternate view, which is Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gimel Shanim. So here we said that the stash period is 5 years. Rabbi Yossi believes that it should only be 3 years. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Daniel, Ugadam Shanim Shalosh, they used to bring them up for 3 years. Vilalam Dam Sefer, they taught them how to read. Ulashon Kazdim, and he taught them the Chaldean language. This is speaking about the young Jews that were taken in captivity to Babel, that they're taken into service in the royal palace. And so those that were seen to be as future stars were then taken to the king's palace to serve the king, both in an advisory role and in a service role. And so over there it says that they took them for 3 years. They brought them up for 3 years. They trained them for 3 years. So you see over there that 3 years is a period of time in which you get to know whether a person is going to be successful and whether they have the aptitude to deal with whatever you're asking them to deal with. V'idach. So then, the other view, which is it's 5 years, what does he do with this pasuk in Daniel? Shani lashon kasdim dikalil. It's not a big deal, because the language in Babel, the Babylonian Chaldean language, was easy to pick up. It wasn't something that was difficult. Whether that means that there's overlap in the language, or that it's not a complex language, and therefore, since it's easy to pick up, we don't think that you need as much training to be involved with it. So the lamdam sefer lashon kasdim, which made them, that they made them literate, and they gave them the capacity to speak or to orate. Obviously, in those days, that was a significant step up for those people that were literate and able to write. Not everybody was taught to do that. So that was of significance. Be'idach, and then the other opinion, meaning Rabbi Yossi, who thinks that it's 3 years, what does he do with the psukim about the 5 year difference? He says there, Shani hilchot avodah, they're the dinim that deal with the Mishkan, that is the takifin. That they are overwhelming. Now that could be in one of two ways. Takifim can be in a physical way, that they're overwhelming, meaning that you need a lot of strength to deal with them because of the fact that it's a vodav kateif. Or takifim, the way Rashi explains it, is Rida Mishkan, Ulufarko, Unin Toto. It's very involved. You have to dismantle the Mishkan, you have to rebuild the Mishkan, you have to put up krasav, vikarashav, vashir the korban vepeh ubikli, and then the singing as well. And that there are many details that you need to know, and therefore takifim means it's very involved. And since it's involved, you need to be trained in order to understand what to do and how to do it properly, and that takes more time in order to do the stash. That leads to this difference in opinion as to whether the stash period or the default stash period is 3 years or 5 years, and then you view the other one as being the exception. The one who says it's 5 years sees the 3 years as being an exception because it didn't need as much training. And the one who says 3 years, Rabbi Yossi, believes that the 5 years was an exception because that was something that was more involved, more difficult. Tan Rabbanan, Kohen Mishavish Teis Arot, Ashiyas Kin Kasher Levoda. So now here we have a braita that says that Kohanim have no age restriction. They begin once they reach of age. Once they become bar mitzvah, then they're already qualified. And then they're only disqualified, or they're only into forced retirement when they get old. Obviously, the Gemara is going to have to ask, what does it mean, mishi askin? That's a subjective type of qualification or threshold as to when you have to retire. What does it mean, kishi askin? Umimin poslim bo. And secondarily, which is the primary thing that disqualifies by a kohen, which is mumin. So what you're going to have to say is that age over here is a problem that is not related to age. So that is that the ability to start a boda is related to being someone who's a bar chiyuva. That's why you have to be 13. So then aging out is also going to have to be something like that, which is not a disqualification because of age inherently, but because the age prevents you from doing the avoda. And that's what it means to your skin. When you become too old to do the avoda, that's what disqualifies you. So it's the age is not what's relevant. It's the ability or the a qualification of the individual to do the avoda, one on the lower end, bar chiyuva, and on the upper end, their capacity to carry out the avoda. Umumim poslimbo, on the other hand, mumim, which are an inherent psul, that's something that will disqualify the kohen. That's midoraita. Those are the things that disqualify the kohen. Ben Levi, when it comes to a Ben Levi, mi ben shlushim, vad ben chamishim kasher da avoda. From 30 to 50, he is kasher to do the avoda. Ushanim poslimbo. And years are significant. Inherently, the years are problematic. It has nothing to do with his capacity to do it, whether he's of age or not. It's 30 to 50 is a limitation on when he can work. When is that all true? That's what we just said before. That's all true when you're dealing with the Mishkan. When it comes to the Mishkan Shiloh, and it comes to the Beit Mikdash, the only thing that disqualifies them is the quality of their voice. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Mikra. What's the pasuk that tells you that voice is important for the Levim? It says in Divrei Hayamim, Vayehi ke'echad le'mechatzitzrim uvela mishorarim lashmia kol echad. And it was that the trumpeters as one and the singers as one sounded like one voice. So Rashi over here says kol echad, tzrichim levasem et kolam shunirek kol echad. That they have to then have their quality of their voice. The sound of their voice has to make it sound that they're all one group. They're a single choir that is working together. So according to Rashi, the disqualification over here is if you are off key, if you're tone deaf, if you don't sound properly when you sing, then you're disqualified from singing because you have to be kol echad. That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to indicate that the kol or the disqualification of kol is really in age-based problem, which is that as you get older, the quality or the nature of the voice changes. And so therefore, when you get to be a certain age, you're disqualified from kol because your voice has now changed. It's not as steady, unable to carry the way it did before. And so that would be a disqualification, not when you're in the age, but when your voice changes eventually. You could then possibly suggest that even if you weren't such a good singer, but if you were in your prime, then you could do it as long as you could sing. Although from Rashi here, it sounds like that's the eager part of what it is that you have a good voice in order to be those that sing in the Mikdash. Now, also in the Mikdash, you don't have the correlation between the singing and the other avodah that Levim do. Levim, they had two jobs, which were shoarim. They dealt with the opening and closing of the gates and the guarding of the gates. And they were also sharim. They sang in the Mikdash. Over here, we don't have that. Just because you're disqualified from shira doesn't mean you're disqualified from shoir. So that means that even if you graduated out of singing, whether that's because Rashi says over here, you just don't have a good voice, or the Rambam says you aged out because of the sound of your voice, then neither of those are disqualifying for you to do the other avodah of the Levim, which is to do Bishoarim. So that's why we're saying there's no age limitation when it comes to the Mikdash, because even if you were disqualified from the singing because of your voice, there's still other avodah that you could do, and you're not disqualified just because you've reached a certain age. When it came to Mishkan Shiloh and Beit Olamim, the Beit HaMikdash. Gemara in Arachin calls those youngsters that used to sing with the Levim, they were called the Tzoarei HaLevim. They were the pain of the Levim, and that's because their voices, they could carry higher notes, they could sing sometimes better than the Levim themselves, and they used to join the choir. They used to be at the feet of the Levim, and they used to join in with the choir, but they were called the Tzoarei Levim because of exactly what you're suggesting, that sometimes those young kids can carry very high notes, or they can sing in a way that makes it difficult for the older Levim because it makes them look bad in some senses. And as we'll see later, that's one of the rayot that the Balei HaTosva will bring, that ketanim can be mitzareif to gedolim in certain circumstances. Hachiaskin ad kama. So the Breita gave a generic statement, which is a subjective thing, which is when you're too old, you can't be in service as a kohen anymore. Mar wants to know, give me some indication of what that means. So Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hachiratet. When you start to shake, when you start to quiver, and Rashi says over here, Yadav Raglav Rotutim, your hands and your legs start to shake, Me'ein Koach, because of the lack of strength. It's really not clear from Rashi whether this is the thing that disqualifies you, meaning that when you start to shake, you're no longer able to do the Avoda, or is this symptomatic, which is that you can't do Avoda anymore. Ashi Askin means when you're too weak to do the Avoda. What's symptomatic of that? What is an indication of when you're too weak is when you start to shake. You're not as steady with your hands. You're not as steady on your legs anymore. So it's not clear here whether this is, again, another sign, symptomatic, or and the core issue is lack of strength. Or is this really the problem? When you can't keep a steady hand, you can't keep steady legs, you're just not going to be able to do avoda. You're not going to be able to do shkita. You're not going to be able to do certain things that require a steady hand in doing the avoda. So that's, again, not clear, but it's what is clear is either way, the disqualification of age has to do exactly with what you were asking, which is that he's no longer able to do what's required. I mean, that there's some heavy lifting, there's some work that requires steadiness, stableness, and once you reach a certain age, that's not going to be possible for a kohen. And that's when you're going to be forced into retirement, is when you no longer have the capacity to carry out the avoda that requires that type of strength and that type of steadiness. Because the psul here is not an inherent psul in the kohen, but rather it's an indication of his inability to do the avoda, then maybe there were avodot that they allowed him to do, another avodot they didn't. It means that you went into semi-retirement, and then you went into full retirement. Maybe there was such a concept, because here, again, it's not like the Levim, where there was a fixed age where you had to go into retirement, irrespective of your capacity to do whatever it was that was being asked of you. Right, so now the Gemara says, Tanan Hotom, the Mishnah in Mikvot, Balkari Shetaval. Balkari that went to a mikvah, Velo Hitil Mayim. And he did not urinate after he went to the mikvah. Likishiyatil, when you do urinate, tameh, then you are tameh. So this has to do with the tum'ah of keri. Tum'ah of keri is when it's expunged from the body, that's when you become tameh. As long as it's internal to the body, it's called maga or tumat beta starim, and it has no impact. Once it leaves the body, is there a din of tum'ah? So obviously, if they are a bal keri, then they are tameim. They went to the mikvah, then they are tohorim. No questions asked about that. The problem is that not all of the keri is expunged in the act of the keri being released. Sometimes you need to urinate afterwards to clean out the piping that pushes out the remainder, the last drops of the keri. Had he urinated before he went to the mikvah, there'd be nothing to discuss, because then whatever residual tumah was there already was expunged. It was expelled from the body. And now you're just going to the mikvah and you're tahor. Next time you urinate, there's no issue at all. On the other hand, if you went to the mikvah before you urinated, then the problem is the next time you urinate, there's a high likelihood that there's some residual keri that's there, that's being expelled when you urinate, and that's going to cause you to be tamei again. So there is the Mishnah says, Balkari shetaval lo itil mayim. If you didn't urinate before you went to the mikvah, kishiyatil, when you do urinate afterwards, tamei. Rabbi Yossi omer, b'chole u'bizakein tamei. That's true if the individual is of ill health or they're older. B'yelet u'bibari tahor. On the other hand, if they are a youngster or they are healthy, then they are tahor. Now, it's not clear here whether you read yelid ubibari, meaning that you need both qualifications. You need to be a youngster and healthy. Or independently, it's enough that you're young or that you're healthy. The idea being that the expelling of the keri is driven by a muscular push. And therefore, someone who is healthy and someone who is young, that muscular push or force is much stronger, and therefore it expels everything that needs to come out. Whereas when you are older or otherwise sick, then the functioning of that muscular push or that strength of that push is not as full, and therefore there's some residual that's left in the urinary tract, and then the urinating afterwards is going to cause the problems. That's what Rabbi Yossi qualifies this and says it depends on the age or the health of the individual as to whether urinating afterwards has impact. So Yeled ad kama. What is the age of a child? What does it mean to be a child? So Amar Rabbi Lo, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Kol Shel Omed Al Raglo Achat, V'Choletz Minalo, V'Noel Melo. Any person who can stand up on one foot and then put on his shoe on the other foot, or take off his shoe on the other foot. It's both an ability of balance and strength, which is uniquely associated with people who are younger. The older you get, the harder it gets to balance. And also, the older you get, the less strength you have to carry out such an operation where you're on one foot and then without leaning over, without being on a chair, that you can't tie the other shoe or you can't take off and put on the other shoe while you're standing. So Amru Alav of Rabbi Chanina. So it's said about Rabbi Chanina, Shaya Ben Shmonim Shana. He was 80 years old. He was in such good shape and he was in such good health that he could stand up on one foot at 80 years old, take off his shoe and put his shoe back on. Rabbi Chanina was Olam Mibavel to Eretz Yisrael, came at a very young age to Eretz Yisrael. He learned by Rabbi, he learned by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He is one of those individuals that's in the transition generation between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. He was a Rebbe to many of the famous Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, including Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But he also has impact on about two or three generations of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. And you can see why. It's the same way that Rabbi Yochanan has influence in that way, is because Herech Yamim. He lived a long time. Many people normally passed away at a much younger age. And therefore, when you have generations, you can look at people who were peers, who appear together, or Rebbeim, you see the overlap between them. There are certain figures that appear with numerous generations of Amoraim, including Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, because they lived a long life. But not only did they live a long life, here it says Rabbi Chanina was in full capacity. He was 80 years old and he was still fully healthy and he had his wits about him. That makes it even more significant, and therefore Rabbi Chanina is extremely influential in Eretz Yisrael and Torah Eretz Yisrael because of that, because he's teaching generations of Amoraim. And again, he's someone who touched the Tanaim. He was learning by Rabbi, Rabbi Chia, all those Tanaim that were in the generation of Rabbi and his Talmidim. So he has a significant bridge between the Tanaim and Amoraim, and he lives a long time, so that he has a significant influence because of that. Amri b'chanina, chamin v'shemen shesichatani imi b'yalduti heinam duli. So what made it that I was able to age so beautifully and I still had my vigor about me, even at that age, was that the hot water and the oil that my mother anointed me with, washed me with, bathed me in my young years, when I was young, when I was a youth, or when I was a baby, when I was in my youth, that's what kept me going when I was older. So he saw that as being his secret to the strength of his life, was the fact that his mother in his younger years took care of him, had pampered him in this way, and given him the ability to become strong. Tarabanan, nitmalez kano, if his beard fills out, ra'oi la'sot shliach tzibor, v'lirayd lifnei ha'teva, then at that point you're qualified to be the shliach tzibor, to be yorayd lifnei ha'teva. The difference between shliach tzibor and lirayd lifnei ha'teva is not so clear. Rashi over here says the shliach tzibor is the chol tzarcheichem, means for all the needs of the community, including tkiat shofar, or the nadot, to do nidoi, or the malkot, or to become some sort of significant authority within the community. And then would be what we otherwise call today a shatz, a shliach tzibor, is to lead the services. The difficulty with that is that in other places in Shas, what Rashi is describing here as a shliach tzibor is called chazan, which is both in the Mikdash and in the Beit Knesset. The chazan HaKnesset was the person that Rashi is describing over here, which is more like the shamash of the shul. And that's what is used as the terminology, not shliach tzibor. And therefore, the Ramban and others suggest that it's one thing. La'sot shliach tzibor, le'reid lifnei ha'teva. Leave out the vav. These aren't two separate people. To be a shliach tzibor that goes down before the teva, and it's describing the same person. One is the name of that job, and the other one is what they do, which is le'reid lifnei ha'teva. And so that would solve that problem as to what is it, the difference between a shliach tzibor and a le'reid lifnei ha'teva. Belisa et kapav. And also to duchen. So here is the qualifying age in order to do this. The qualifying age is nitmalez kano. Nitmalez kano is when his beard fills out. Generally, that's associated with the age of 20. And that has significance not only here, but in other areas of halacha, which is 20 years old, is seen to be a significant transitional stage. It's interesting we celebrate the bar mitzvah, we don't really celebrate 20, but 20 halachically does have impact in a number of areas, one of which is masava matan. The Rambam brings it down halacha, it's scored based on the Gemara in Baba Batra and in Vamot also deals with it, which is when is a person considered to be of a mature enough age and understanding enough of what's going on around them that we would consider their transactions to be fictitious and that we can assume that they engage in a sale or a purchase of something, that they really know what they're doing and they're not being taken advantage of. And that we say is the age of 20. So age of 20 is also the age, according to the Gemara and the way the Rambam for sure says, that a person should get married. That's the threshold by which we say already a person now is mature enough to get married, and also to raise a family or to support a family. So the age of 20 is significant, and here too, the age of 20 is used as a threshold, which is the ability to go the fancy boor, or lisat kapav. Now here it doesn't say why that is the case. It just says that's the rule. The rule is 20. It doesn't define for you why that is, or what's the disqualifying factor before the age of 20. Me'ematai kasher la'avoda. When does a kohen become kasher la'avoda? Mishavi shtei sarot. Once he reaches the age of puberty. I mean that in order to do avoda and seemingly lisa kapav and be a shlit tzibur would also be involved in this, which is once you reach the age of bar mitzvah, you're qualified to do this. Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Omer ani achei ben esrim, until he is 20 years old. So you see that there's this association with 20 and itmalez kano with Rabbi's opinion. My time at the Rabbi. Where does Rabbi get the source of this from? Yichtiv, because it says, "Vayamdu et aleviim mi ben esrim shana v'mala menatzeach al melechet beit Hashem." So it says in Ezra, with regards to the Leviim, that from 20 years and older, they were, now lenatzeach can be translated in a number of ways. One can be to supervise. And Rashi says lenitzuach, which means that they have the capacity to be strong enough, or they build to be able to deal with the avoda that is placed upon them. So lenatzeach can mean from like the victory, meaning that they're strong enough to be victorious, but that means that they have strength. Can be lenatzeach means that they are able to supervise at that time. Or lenatzeach can mean something else if you think about Levim in the context of Shira. As someone who can lead the song, as someone who can be involved properly in the singing. So Netzeach Melechat Beit Hashem. So that's the qualifying age. Rabbi says 20 years old, you see, is the threshold here where the Netzeach, where you're already in the state of maturity where we would consider you to be qualified to do this. Ve'idach, so the Tana Kama, who thinks that it's from the age of Bar Mitzvah, the Netzeach Shiny. That's to do with supervision. So now, again, depending what you think lenatzeach means, if you think it means to supervise, to be in a supervisory role, that requires someone who's older. That requires 20. To be just one of the worker bees, that you could do already from the age of bar mitzvah. Or if you think lenatzeach means to be engaged in work that requires strength, or it requires you to be physically strong enough to engage in the work, okay, so 20 is the things for that physical type of work. But things that don't require that type of exertion, maybe from the age of bar mitzvah. Or if you say it's singing, and yes, you have the capacity to sing when you're younger. You can't lead the singer. You can't be the lead singer. You can't be the conductor of whatever's happening, but you still could be the one who is involved in the singing itself. That's how the Tana Kama, who argues on Rabbi, would explain that pasuk relative to his position, that bar mitzvah is the threshold. Vaha, haikra b'levim k'tiv. This is just a question on Rabbi using that pasuk as proof to the fact that he thinks 20 is a threshold age. He's speaking about avoda. Avoda has to do with the Kohanim, not the Levim. Oh, there you're speaking about the Levim. Why is that relevant to the world of the Kohanim? Ked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That's like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Dama Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Besrim v'arba mekomot nikru Kohanim Levim. In 24 places in Tanakh, the Kohanim are referred to as Levim. Bezayah achad mehem. And I'll bring you one example. But the example obviously is a proof to what he's saying. Because here it's clear that Levim must mean Kohanim in this case. That is, Vakohanim. Halevim b'nei Tzadok. Tzadok is clearly a Kohen. And it says about him that the Kohanim who are Levim, they are from b'nei Tzadok. You see clearly there the Kohanim are called Levim. Now Rashi brings two possibilities as to why that's the case. The first interpretation he brings from his Rebbeim is that they come from Shevet Levi. Every Kohen is also a Levi. They're a Levi plus. They happen to be from Shevet Levi plus. They have an additional Maila, which is that they're also a Kohen. So they're still Levi'im. Rashi, on the other hand, says something very interesting. It says, Vani Shamati, I heard Lashon Levi'im Shamashim. The word Levi got associated with a particular meaning, which is that originally Levi had to do with Shevet Levi. But once Shevet Levi was involved in the work of being Shamashim, then it also became synonymous with being a Shamash. They used the word Levi'im as someone who is in service, rather than simply to mean someone who is from Shevet Levi. And the Kohanim, who are people who are in service, so then Levi'im is a more generic term. So the question is, are you using it as a proper noun, or is it as a almost borrowed word? Because if you say that Levi'im means Shevet Levi, then it's a proper noun, which says that you're from Shevet Levi, and that's why the Kohanim are called Levi'im. The other hand, the way Rashi brings it is, Levi'im is a more generic term. It's a borrowed word from the original Levi'im, but now it means anywhere in the Tanakh that it's used, means someone who is in service. Doesn't mean you're necessarily from Shevet Levi, just means someone who's in service, doing something like a Shamash, like Levi'im do in the Mikdash. It becomes a borrowed term. Well, Rashi brings the example from Bayilavu Alecha, that they will accompany you. He thinks that Livui comes from Levi. It's the etymology of the word he's suggesting comes from Levi rather than being the other way around. We have that in the modern language as well. Things like Xerox. To make a copy, the reason it's called Xerox is because the Xerox company was the one who originally brought the copying machines. And then it became associated with the Xerox. Certain words get taken from the proper noun and then used synonymously with the actual action or activity that's being done because it's associated with that proper noun. Tarabanan. Ish mizaracha ledorotam, says someone from amongst your offspring will be there for generations. Minkanamai Rabbi Lazar, katan pasul la'avoda, fafilutam. A katan is disqualified from avoda even if he has no mumim, because it uses the term ish. Ish always identifies someone who is of age, and so therefore it says ish mizaracha ledorotam. Mumim are pusel by someone who is of age. But that means that you have to at least to be of age to be even in the consideration for being doing the avoda. So if you're a youngster and you're tam, it doesn't help because it's not tmimut that is the sole qualifying factor in being able to do the avoda. You need to be an ish before you can do avoda. Mei matai kasher l'avoda, ishavish te se'arot. When do you become qualified to do avoda? Once you reach the age of bar mitzvah, that's like the Tana Kama before. On the other hand, the union rules of the Kohanim don't let you work until you're 20. So now, this seemingly is associated with Rabbi's position before, which Rabbi said that they're disqualified until 20. This doesn't sound like it's a disqualification. Now it just sounds simply like the union rules were that you can't work until 20. Igadamre, ha Rabbi. So some say that this braita is really following the sheet of Rabbi. And according to Rabbi, there's not even a din. The Rabbonon of Isur. It's a recommendation. It's something that lechatchila we would assume that someone shouldn't dochen until 20, but there's no clearly Isur d'oraita, and there's not even an Isur d'rabbanan. It means that if someone did it, it would not be problematic. And what it sounds like is this practice of the Kohanim was actually something that was endorsed or something that was promulgated by the Rabbonon that they should not allow them to dochen lechatchila until the age of 20. But there's no psul here, and therefore the attribution of this bright day is to Rabbi. And some say, Rabbi itle psul mi derabanan. That Rabbi does think there's a psul mi derabanan, and afilu bidiavad, you cannot dochen, you can't do avoda until you're the age of 20, according to Rabbi. Therefore, v'harabonani. Then, therefore, it's going to be those that argue on Rabbi are going to be the authors of this position, but they said it was okay from the age of 13. To that we say, lechatchilohu delo, that only lechatchiloh chava kohanim prevented him from doing this, aval diavad, but if it was diavad, avodato kshira. And therefore the statement before the chachamim that after the age of 13 it was fine, that's only b'diavad. Lechatchiloh, the din according to the Rabbonon, is like the bright that tells us that a chava kohanim prevented him from working until the age of 20. Now, what exactly that means is not clear. From the flow of the Gemara, it sounds like what we mentioned before, that Echav HaKohanim were basically following through or acting upon this Din Derabbanan that the Rabbanan put in place. And whether it was for Rabbi's position before or now the Chachamim's position, either way that you explain it, they were just following that injunction of the Chachamim to stop them from duchening until they were age of 20. Now then, if you look at the way that it's formulated in the Rambam, in Perakeh from Hilchot Kli HaMikdash, Halacha Tetvav Tetzayin, it says there, Kishi Yigdal HaKohen V'yaseh Ish, when he becomes a man, Hariu Kasher L'Avodah, he's totally fine for Avodah, Aval echav ha-kohanim lo yiminichim oto la'avod b'migdash ad sheyeh ben 20 shana. But his brethren, the kohanim, would prevent him from doing such until the age of 20. So over there, it does not sound like it's a din derabbanan, but rather more along the lines of what we described before, which was the union rules. The kohanim decided to have a maila within the kohanim that they only allowed individuals who are over the age of 20. But it's not necessarily an injunction or a din derabbanan. The chatchila means the chatchila of the kohanim. That's how they practiced. But b'diavad, according to even the view of the kohanim, and maybe even the chatchila, according to the rabbanan, you would be allowed to do avodah from the age of bar mitzvah. Now, from this gemara, it would seem that at minimum, a kohen to engage in avodah, and avodah would include nisiyat kupayim, and would also include shliach tzibur over here, the minimum age would have to be 13, and then the more likely age would be 20 in order to be qualified. The problem is that we find other gemarot that seem to indicate otherwise, and that's what the Balei HaTosafot already suggest over here, based on the Gemara in Megillah and the Gemara in other places. So I'm just going to bring you the other Gemarot so that you get a sense of what Tosafot is trying to deal with over here. There's a Gemara in Megillah and a Gemara in Sukkah. Gemara in Sukkah says, Hayodei lifros kapav, chokim lo chumah bebeit agranot. Someone who knows how to duchen, someone who knows how to get up there to do nesiyat kapayim, you're allowed to give him alone at the silos or at the threshing areas, you're able to give him chumah. You can assume if he already got up before the tzibur and did nesiyat kapayim that he's really a kohen. If he's really a kohen, then you can give him truma. Rashi says over here, mi sheyodea lifros kapav uforeis b'tzibur. When he knows how to do this and he does it in public, hakol yodim shevishtei sarot. Rashi says that's how you know that he's already reached the age of bar mitzvah. Shein katan poreis kapav. Rashi says because youngsters don't go up and duchen. So Rashi says that the way to explain that gemara in Sukkah is that if he knows how to do duchening, not that he knows how to do it, rather he is doing it. He is getting up in front of the shul and doing it. Since he's doing it, that's an indication that he must be of age. If he's of age, then you can give him truma, big granot. That's how Rashi explains it. There's also a Gemara in Megillah. Gemara in Megillah says, Katan kore b'torah umitargem. A Katan can read the Torah, or he can translate the Torah. Aval enu pareis al shma, v'enu ver lifnei ateva. He's not allowed to be the shliach tzibur. V'enu noset kapav. He's not allowed to duchen. So Rashi Megillah says, she'en kavod shel tzibur li'ot kfufim l'birkato. It's not proper for the tzibur to have to be subject to his bracha. That he's holding the whole tzibur at bay, in a sense, because he's going to give them a bracha. They're going to have to answer a main. They're going to have to respond to him. It's inappropriate that a katan gets up in front of the tzibur and he's the one giving the bracha to the tzibur. I mean, that in a sense, he's acting in a leadership role. So here you have three different gemaras. You have our gemara that says either nitmalez kano, which would mean the age of 20, or at minimum the age of 13. You have the gemara in Megillah, which says that a katan cannot be nosei kapav. Then you have the gemara in Sukkah that says as long as you know how to duchen, then you can give him shuma beta granot. According to Rashi, all the gemarot in a sense are reconciled because Rashi says that the gemara in Sukkah who says a yudel lifros kapav is referencing not to a katan but to a person who's already reached the age of bar mitzvah. Yudel lifros kapav doesn't mean it's not about knowledge. It's not about the ability to do it. It's whether the tzibur allows him to do it. That's what it means. You know that he does the duchening. It's not that he knows how to do it. It's that he's allowed to do it. And therefore, for Rashi, the minimum age clearly is 13, and maybe even 20 would be the threshold age, but clearly a katan cannot duchen. Then the Balei HaTosafot in Sukkah already argue on Rashi, and they note that Rashi's explanation is very forced. He says, "Umishi yodeli fros kapav upareis b'tzibor, kol yodim shevish teserot, shein katan pareis kapav, kedanam megillah," like Mishnah Megillah, which we just read, which says that a katan doesn't duchen. He says, kach peir shekuntris. That's how Rashi explained it. He says, v'lo mash mahochi, el b'katan mamash ayri. He says, that's not what the Gemara sounds like over here. The Gemara over here sounds like that when it means ayudea lifros kapav, means that he has the ability to do it. And that's a terminology that we see many times with issues of chinuch, which is ayudea litate. Someone knows how to wrap themselves, then they put on tzitzit. Hadea lishmor tfilav. Someone who knows to care for his tefillin, he puts on tefillin. Avdeya l'naneya, right, takes a lulav. It's a expression that we see many times in Tanaic works, which is an indication that you've reached an age threshold, not a bar mitzvah, but you reach an age threshold where you have the ability or capacity to do whatever is being asked in this context. And therefore, the Tosafot says that we're speaking about a real katan over here. And when we're speaking a real katan, it means someone who has the ability to be nosei kapav Even though he's a katan, he already can go up and dochen. Obviously, mishum chinuch, that he's doing it, but he's allowed to go up and dochen. But that obviously caused much more of an issue for the Balei HaTosafot, our Gemara, and the Gemara Megillah, he's going to have to reconcile now. How does he reconcile our Gemara with the Gemara Megillah that says, number one, that if he's a katan, he can't go up? And number two is, how can it be that our Gemara requires bar mitzvah or 20? You're not even close, according to the Balei HaTosafot. So the Balei HaTosafot over here in our Gemara give an answer, which they piece together in the other places as well. That's what we're reading now. You're not allowed to go and duchen until you have become fully bearded. The mashma self perakululav a gazul. What about the Gemara in Sukkah? Katan yodeli sad kapav kolkim lo chuma begoren vaafilu katan mamash. Even a katan. So you have three different thresholds here. How do I reconcile them? Beyesh lomar dahi lulav a gazul myrib im koanim gidolim lo mod uleit chanech. The Tosafot deals with the first issue, which is a katan can go up and dochen when there are koanim of age already up there. It's chinuch. Along with them, he can go up. And it's a matter of chinuch to learn how to dochen. He can go up with the other koanim. And over here in Megillah, where it says a katan can't go up, that's when he's alone. That's what Rashi says. It's not covered at tzibur for the katan himself to be the one up there leading the duchanim and having the tzibur respond to him. That's inappropriate. But if he's together with the other koanim, okay, he's doing it for chinuch. Then the tzibur is not subject to him. It's not him driving it for the tzibur, but it is the other koanim. And I heard that Rabbi Yoshim gave a psak for a minion here locally, that in situations in which a father goes up to Dochen, and he's the only Kohen, and his son goes up with him for Chinuch, that you don't call out Kohanim, because you don't have Kohanim over there. Even though there are Kohanim, the Katan is not classified as a Kohen in that sense, and therefore you don't call. He would just start the Dochen without being called up to Kohanim. Now, Baha'i Dechulin, how does he reconcile our Gemara with the fact that the Bar Mitzvah threshold in other places is in 20? He says, the Baha'i Milui Zakan, Mairi, Lisakapav Tadir Bikviut. That's what Tosafot says over here as well. That's when he does it on a regular basis. When he all the time gets up there to Duchen. Aval Be'akrai Ba'alma. When he goes up sometimes and sometimes he doesn't, Yochohu Lisakapav. Then you can Duchen. Apo Pish Lo Mitmalez Kano. Even though you didn't reach that threshold age. Kedelach Zuke Nafshe Bekane. In order to show that he is a Kohen, he can go up once in a while to demonstrate that he is a Kohen. But the real Duchening only starts at 20. So the Baha'i Tosafot, there are actually three thresholds over here. There's a threshold before the age of Bar Mitzvah, where you only chayav mishum chinuch, you can only go up mishum chinuch, and that means there has to be other kohanim there, otherwise you can't go up. It has to be yodeli sak kapav. There's not an exact age. He knows how to put his hands up, he knows how to say the words and give the bracha. He knows what all the performance of what needs to be done up there, he knows how to do it. Different kids get that earlier or later. So that's the first threshold. The second threshold is once you cross over Bar Mitzvah, technically you're qualified to go up at least sak kapav, but it's still not proper to go bikviyut lifnei tzibur. In order to be a shliach tzibur, in order to be nosek kavav on a regular basis, then you have the requirement to be over the age of 20. 20 is considered to be an age where there's enough maturity that, first of all, we would pick you as a shliach tzibur. Now, the way it tells us what reads kviyut means that if he is the official chazan, if he's the official kohen for the tzibur, that, to be that officiating individual, that's only over the age of 20. Or, to daven every single time, or on a regular basis to be the one who goes up and does it, that you should only do over the age of 20. But under that age, if in a place there's nobody who can do it, there's nobody over the age of 20, or every once in a while this person wants to go up and duchen, and that we're okay with. He wants to daven for the Amud when there's nobody else around. Same qualifications that we have for the Shliach Tzibur, the Yom Noraim. If there's nobody who can do it, then we take somebody who's under that age. But if there are other people who can do it, then we pick people over the age of 20. That's the way the Balei HaTosafot reconcile it. Obviously, that's huge nafkaminot. But according to Rashi, Ketanim can't go up at all. And number two is, it sounds like from Rashi, depending how we paskin over here, then you would either be 13 or 20 is the threshold, and you don't go up at all before that. And the Rambam, when he codifies the halacha, he says, Shisha dvarim onim nisiat kapayim. There are six things that prevent a kohen from going up to duchen. Halashon, vamumim, vaveira, vashanim, vayayin v'tumat ha'yadayim. Age is an issue. And hashanim keitza, and a couple of halachot later, he explains, what is age disqualification? You're not allowed to go up there until the age of 20. It's clear from Rashi, it's clear from the Rambam, that they really think that 20 is a threshold age, and before the age of 20, one cannot go up to Duchen at all. I mean, that there's no exception to that. Baha'i Tosafot create all these exceptions to allow people to go up beforehand. But according to the Rambam and the Rashi, it's 20, and 20 is the only age where you can go. And the Oroch Lener in Masechet Sukkah, in dealing with this, says, what is the Svara of Rashi and the Rambam? It's clear that the Rashi and the Rambam reject the view of the Baal Tosafot, but they're also aware of the problem. They know there's a problem, and how do they deal with the problem? He says, V'chein yirli, lo sfir le Rambam Rashi chiluk zeh. They don't believe in what the Tosafot says. V'huk shulahem kushyata Tosafot, gam shemaya shikshu od darei b'chulin amin en achim leiz kano, v'chein leish lomar, sfir le de Rashi, v'day ikra zman nisa kapav, hu, shaseh gadol. When you reach the age of bar mitzvah, that is the threshold. That's only if the tzibur knows that he already reached the age of puberty. But if that's not the case, then he should wait until he is fully mature. Because then he's definitely a gadol, and they won't think that maybe he's a katan, and it would be an affront to the tzibur if he was a katan who got up there. So again, he plays on this issue of kavod tzibur. He says, the ikar threshold is shtei sarot, is the age of puberty, but that's not something that's known. And they don't want to rely on chazaka derabba because of the fact that this is something to do with kavod tzibur. And then they really want someone who is qualified and should be up there, and it's not appropriate for the tzibur. So where's the threshold? And we find this in other areas of halacha as well. That 20 is also a threshold age. First of all, for certain things, punishment, mina shamayim, also only starts at 20. In Masechet Yevanot, also, 20 is an age by where we assume that a person is definitely reached the point of being of age. And part of that is the indication of the beard. The full grown out beard is a sign of maturity. It's also the sign of when somebody stops growing, in that they've reached their plateau, they've reached full maturity is when their beard fills out. So these are, again, signs or indications of reaching a certain age of maturity. And because of the kavod tzibur, we say to a person, okay, yeah, you're qualified after bar mitzvah, but the tzibur wants you only to come up at the age of 20. That might be also what's referenced to here in our Gemara, Echava Kohanim. They didn't allow him to go until the age of 20. Meaning that these union rules, but the rules were associated with a certain maturity. You were considered to be a kid until you reached the age of 20. 20 was a threshold age of significance, as we point out, in many areas of halacha. The Ramami panel gets a question. There's a series of questions he's asked. One of the questions he's asked is about the age of the Kohanim that go up. And he writes very strongly over here. He says, Od Shamanu, the Batrei Damar, Enoktanim, Nasim Snif Legdolim, Benisiat Kapayim, Ajaviu Shte Sarot. We hear the questioner saying to the Ramami panel that we hear in your city you don't allow Kohanim to go up at all, period, until they reach the age of Bar Mitzvah. V'yesh min ha-kavua behefek mizeberov ha-olam. The rest of the world doesn't do what you do, and they let Ketanim go up together with Gedolim. How should we do this? What's the proper conduct in this manner? It's very interesting how he rents back. He says, Kol ha-goanim shavim b'din zeh. All the goanim say the same thing. Shein katan osel kapav klal, kapashto dematiten. Like the Mishnah says, Katan doesn't go up, period. B'iskimi mahem, Rashi, Farav, Farambam. Everybody agrees with them. Ve'enanu shomim nachronim shepirshu alatzmam. We don't listen to these newfangled Baalei HaTosafot that try to come up with some answer in the Gemara, and therefore they come up with this idea that a Katan could go up together with the Gdolim. He says, Chad v'chalak, all the Gonim, Mishonim, until this point in time, said, like the Gemara says, Katan doesn't go up to Duchen, period. Vashnuye lo nekum v'nismok. And for this answer, the fancy answer that Baalei HaTosafot came up with, we're not going to rely on that for halakha. Bavo pi shehema midamim, even though they think that's the way, achno lo nase maseh. We're not going to act on that. Ki amesoret ish mi pi ish maskimei rishonim v'tulo midet. It says that our mesora, and it's clear the mesora is that katanim don't go up. So now, how do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch brings down the halacha. Katan shelevi shtei sarot eino noseh et kapav b'fnei atzmo klal. Doesn't go up by himself at all. Aval im kohanim shehem gdolim noseh l'mod u'lehitchanech. So it's clear that Shulchan Aruch is paskin like the Baalei HaTosafot. Obviously, he doesn't paskin like the Baalei HaTosafot. He's paskin like the Rosh, who follows that view of the Baalei HaTosafot, the Shum Chinuch, it's allowed. Umishe vishte sarot, once you reach the age of puberty, noset kapav, afilu b'fnei atzmo. That he can do even alone. Umihu davka be'akrai ba'alma. That's only if it happens every once in a while. Velo b'kviyut. You can't go up there every day or every week if you're only over the age of bar mitzvah. Aj shimaleiz kano. Until you reach the age of 20. Shaj yakol isak kapav, afilu yuchidi b'keva. Then you reach that point when you can do it. So the Mishnah Brura, and commenting on that, Umiu, gam zehu mitam kvod tzibur. Shein kvodam shivrachim tamid bekeva ubiyichidi ish shalon mitaleha ad ayin zkano. So the Mishnah Berurah brings what Rashi says about it, that it's also not kvod tzibur. That someone of a young age that has yet to reach itmalei zkano, hasn't reached that level of maturity, is It's not covered at Tzibur for him to be the leader. Bad cry. And so now here the Mishnah Berurah says something which has impact. Ubiminutenu, Shenosim Kapayim El Biyom Tov, in a Chutzlaretz where we only duchen on the regalim, Mutar Litzakapa B'chol Regal. Afilu B'fnei Atzmo, Kedei Lach Zukei Nafshei B'Kanei, Delo Mikri Zeh L'Akrai. By definition, because in Chutzlaretz they don't duchen every day, that is called a cry. Even though that's the Kviut in Chutzlaretz, it's called a cry in Chutzlaretz. So now, the question is, what do we do about today, where we have youngsters going in over the age of bar mitzvah who are duchening every single day? Why is it that we allow them to go up, even though they're before the age of 20? We allow kids all the time, 13 to 20, they duchen by themselves in front of the tzibur, and they duchen every single time in front of the tzibur. So there are different answers that are brought, one of them which is what the Mishnah notes over here, it's mishum kvod tzibur. The problem of the age limit or the 20-year-olds is kvod tzibur, and what you can say is that the tzibur is mochel al kvodam, that a tzibur has a right to be mochel al kvodam, and therefore today it's accepted policy that the tzibur is mochel al kvodam, and they allow individuals who are under the age of 20 both to be shliach tzibur or to be kohenim, and even to do a bikviut, they're not makpid on it, and therefore it's okay. Or they rather have birkat kohenim than not have it at all because of this problem of kviut. Even though, as others point out, there's no imperative to have birkat kohenim. It's only if there's a kohen there and he's olah l'duchen that you have to have it. Nevertheless, the tzibur is mochel al kvodam. It's an interesting concept because we find other areas, like in that Gemara Megillah, where things are disqualified because of kavod tzibur, and there we don't say, oh, the tzibur has a right to waive their kavod. But over here, it seems like the tzibur waived their kavod. That's one way to deal with it. The other way to deal with it, somebody just showed me that this morning, that only being alone is a kviut. So only if a kohen goes up by himself to go up, is that called kviut. If he goes up with other kohenim, that's not called a kviut. So the answer to the problem is that when they go up as a group. Many times there are over 20-year-olds there, and if anybody's under 20, that doesn't create a kviut. It's only when you're alone that it creates a kviut, and so therefore it's still considered to be a kri ba'alma when they go up, even though they're going up every time, but when they go up with other 20-year-olds, that's not considered to be a kviut. It's a shaky answer to the problem because of the fact that we don't find such a concept. A kri means not all the time, and here you're doing it all the time, and who says that having a 20-year-old up there does solve that problem? Nevertheless, that's another suggestion to the solution. And the last suggestion that I had heard was that it's actually a carryover from Chutz La'aretz, which is that in Chutz La'aretz, Kohanim got up every time to Duchen, because as the Mishnah Berurah says over here, that's called a Kri Ba'alma. So the practice was that anytime there was a chance to Duchen, you went up. So when the people moved there to Israel afterwards and had Duchening every day, then they continued that practice of going up every time there's a chance to Duchen, without thinking that maybe there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz, where there it's not a keva and here it is a keva. That might be another explanation for why we do it today. But it is interesting that today, this age 20 threshold, almost nobody thinks about. I've never heard anybody. Katan does have to do with the minhag ha'makom, whether Katanim go up at all. Some places they won't let Katanim go up until right before their bar mitzvah, as chinuch, like 30 days before their mitzvah, the same way they do with tefillin. They let them go up. Other places let them go up at any age as long as they're there with other kohanim. What's clear is nobody allows it when the kohanim are alone. And it's also clear that those kohanim don't count as kohanim for calling out kohanim when you need multiple kohanim. All right, just a little flavor because the Gemara here discussed this issue of birkat kohanim. Now we continue with another Mishnah of the similar style, which is tohor b'kli cheres tamei b'chol hakelim. That which is tohor by kli cheres is tameh in all other kelim, all other materials, kelim that are made of any other material. Tohor by kol kelim, that which is tohor by other kelim is tameh by kli cheres. Once again, here we're going to have a braita that explicates on this. Tanu Rabbanan, avir kli cheres tameh by gabo tohor. This is the unique aspect of a kli cheres. Kli cheres can be mikadel tuma, even if the item never touches the kli cheres, it goes into the airspace of the kli cheres. And similarly, a kli cheres can convey tuma in its airspace, even if it never comes into contact with the object that's there. The other thing that's unique about a kli cheres is that it's only mekabel tuma internally. It does not mekabel tuma externally. That means if a sheretz touches the outside of a kli cheres, the kli cheres is not tamei. It's only mi tocho, not mi gabo. It's outside. Mi derabanan, there might be tuma mi gabo, but mi doraita, there's no tuma from the external side of a kli cheres. There is a shita in the Rashbam that even when a kli cheres is tamei, it cannot also convey tuma migabo, but that's not widely accepted. Rashi, the Baal Tosfot over here, simply say you can't accept tuma from the outside, but once the kli cheres is tamei, you can convey tuma migabo. So that's the unique aspect of a kli cheres. So that's true by a cheres. It can be metamei me'avir, and it cannot be mekabel tuma migabo. Avir kol hakelim tohor, And that's the opposite by other kelim. If you're in the airspace of other kelim, they cannot receive tuma, and they cannot convey tuma over there. They simply accept and convey tuma through nigiya, through contact, or other types like masa, other types of conveyances that are similar to maga, vigaban tameh. And over there, by kelim, it doesn't matter if it's internal, external contact with the kli, they become tameh. So that's the idea of nimtza, tohor b'kli cheres. That which is tohor by kli cheres means gabo, tameh b'kol kelim. For other kelim, tuma exists on the gav of the kli. Tohor b'kol kelim, that which is tohor b'kol kelim, which is in the airspace, tameh b'kli cheres, is problematic inside of a kli cheres. Minani mile. How do we know this is the case? The Tanu Banan, toho. So the word tocho in the psukim, in the end of Parshat Shmini, where it discusses the issues of tuma, it uses the word tocho twice there in the psukim with regards to the kli cheres. One is that how it became tamei, and then the other time it uses the word tocho is what it's conveying tuma to. So afapish lenoga, it says that tocho, it becomes tamei, even if you didn't come into contact with it. That's the beginning of the Tanaic statement. Again, that means this is their stated position. Now they're going to test it. How do you know? When it says tochol is what comes to me, how do you know that it actually has to come into contact? Maybe it doesn't have to come into contact. Rabbi Yonatan ben Abdulumus Omer, Nemar tochol litamei, Nemar tochol litamei. It uses the word tochol in both directions, both in conveyance of tuma and in the acceptance of tuma. So you have tochol mentioned, as I noted before, both in the tuma coming to affect the kli cheres, as well as the kli cheres' ability to convey that tuma to other items. Matocho damur letamei, when it comes to the ability of the kli cheres to convey tuma, over there it says tocho, and it's even if you didn't touch it. Af tocho amur letamei, so too the word tocho that's used to accept tuma, afo pishul nonoga, even if you didn't come into contact. Alright, that's very nice. How do you know there's a difference between one tocho and the other tocho? And the Gemara assumes, oh, both tochol don't involve negiya. Because, you know, when it gives off tuma, when it conveys tuma, there's no negiya. How do you know that? That's what Gemara says. Well, tell me nola. How do you know that's the case? Amar Rabbi Yonatan, hatorahi idal kli cheres. Because the Torah says about a kli cheres, vafilu malei chardal. Even if it's filled up with mustard seeds. So here you have a suggestion that the Torah says, b'chol kli cheres, asher yipol mehem el tochol, kol asher b'tochol yitma. So you have both here, which means that this thing that is tamei comes into the internal side of the kli cheres. Then we'll call it sher b'tocho. Anything that's internal to it, yitma, will have tuma conveyed to it. And then you have to break it. You call it ochel asher ye'achel, asher yavo alav ma'im yitma. Any food items that already have been mukshar lekabel tuma, they accept tuma. Kol mashkeh asher yishateh. And any liquid that you drink, the whole kli itma, that is found in any kli itma. So here it gives you two stages to how the tuma functions over here. The first of which is, tuma can be conveyed to a kli cheres, bitochol, when something goes into it. Then that same tochol conveys tuma to whatever is found inside of it. Then the pasuk afterwards tells you what's found inside of this kli. What's found inside of this kli is ochel and shtiyah. Those two items that are in there. Now, first of all, it teaches you a number of things. This is not an argamara here. But it's good to know this information, which is, this shows you how Avir's Kli Cheres works. Because if you would think that if you had a sheretz and a Kli Cheres hanging in the Kli Cheres, and you have food in there, you would think maybe we look at it as if the sheretz is touching the food. That's maybe how you would think to look at it. The Gemara says that that's not the case, because the only items that become tamei are ochel and shtiyah. A Kli can only accept tuma up to a level of a rishon de tuma. Beyond that, it doesn't accept tuma. If that's the case, then even kelim that were inside of a kli cheres become tamei. It's as if the sheretz is touching the kli, and it would become tamei. The fact that it only says food and drink items are tamei shows you the way it works is that it's as if the sheretz touched the kli cheres, that becomes a rishon the tuma, and then it's as if the kli cheres now touched the food, it makes them into a sheni the tuma, which is only relevant by food items. So that's number one. Number two is the items that are found in there are food items. And what Rabbi Yonatan ben Abdulmos is pointing out is, it doesn't define to you what type of food. It could be any food. What happens if what's found inside the kli cheres is mustard seed? And if you have mustard seeds inside of the kli cheres, there it says that all of the mustard seeds are tamei. How does that work? If you think it only works through negiya, then let's see. The walls of the kli cheres are a rishon l'tuma. That's the mustard seeds that are right adjacent to them. That makes them into a sheni l'tuma. And even if you think they can touch other food items next to them, it makes them into a shlishi l'tuma. By the time you get to the middle, those mustard seeds have not been in contact with any tuma. So then how can you claim mikol? Everything that's found inside of it is tamei. That's just not true. What that shows you is that clearly anything that's inside of the Kli Cheres becomes Tameh. So how does that work? It can't work through Negiyah. It has to work through Avira, that the Avir Kli Cheres is Mitameh. That's the proof that he's bringing for the fact that anything internal to a Kli Cheres can convey Tumah to anything inside of it. Just like it can convey Tumah to anything inside of it in Aviro, even without Negiyah, so too it can accept Tumah, that other Tochol, where we saw that the Sheretz fell in there. That Tochol also caused Tumah to be had by the Kli Cheres, even without coming into contact with it, even in its airspace. So in that way, everything that's found in Avir Rishon the Tumah, that's what Rashi explains over here. Sharei, number one, in Kabetza B'chol Echad. First of all, each mustard seed doesn't have a Kabetza in it. Over here, you can see the Shita Mekubetz that an Ot Aleph discusses a machloket that comes up between Rashi, the Reino Tam, and other places. Everybody agrees that in order to convey Tumah to Ochlim, you have to be excised of a Kabetza. There is a view of the Reino Tam, and Rashi in some places in Shas also says a similar thing. They can only accept Tumah as a Kabetza. If that's the case, then there's nothing to discuss over here. That's what he says. It's less than a Kabetza, then the Kli is not even able to convey Tumah by Nagiyah. And so that's number one. Or, if you say it's all about conveying Tumah, and even the mustard seeds that are adjacent to the wall became Tameh, they can't convey that Tumah further on because they're less than a Kabetza size. That's number one. Number two is, food items can't create Tumah to another food items. That's basically, the Gemara speaks about that in the end of the first parak of Sachim, that it has to switch. It has to go from Ochel to liquid, liquid to Ochel. You can't go Ochel, Ochel, or liquid, liquid. So over there also, you know, you're going from mustard seed to mustard seed, doesn't work. Va'od. First of all, in Chulin, first of all, Sheni is the end. Even if you say it's Maser, so maybe there's Shlishi, even it's Kodesh Revi, but at some point you're going to run out of the movement of Tumah here. And how do you get all the mustard seeds in the whole thing, everything in Tochot, to be Tameh? It just doesn't work through Negiyah. So the only way to claim that it works over here is if it is actually Mitameh through Aviro. And that's his proof text over here. The Baal Tosafot asks, how do you know that that's the case? Maybe there's what's called siruf. We had this in Kodoshim as well. Kaf achat mleak toret. He said over there that the kaf is mitzareif. Everything's inside of it. So sometimes it has nothing to do with the avir. It has the very fact that the kli itself creates a unified view of everything that's inside of it, even though the objects inside of it are disparate. So maybe over here too. Maybe the mustard seeds, yes, they're independent. But once you put them into a kli cheres, the kli cheres makes them into a single unit. And we view it as a single unit. And that's what Tosafot asks over here. V'hiksha Rabbeinu Ephraim, minolon da'ino mitam avir, dilma havitam shekli cheres mitzareif. Why don't you say that's the reasoning? He says, v'hish lamar, yukhtiv kaka kol, mashma afilu nitle ba'avir. And so over here it says kol. Kol means anything that's found in there, irrespective of how it's found in there. V'od hotam darshinan tziruf minukhtiv achat. It says kaf achat. So you need a specific limud. Mashma shakaf mitzareif, asel kol achat. Avohocha loktiv achat. He says that that concept that we find by Kodoshim is either generated by the word achat, or it's because there's actual contact. But over here, you can have kol, which means anything, even if it's not with contact, so that clearly proves that it's avir. And number two is you're missing the word achat. So tziruf, it cannot be the mechanism that's doing it over here. So now, Gemara continues. Amar Rav Ad Baba, the Rava. V'hei kli cheres mitameh migavo mikav v'chomer. This is similar to the type of kav v'chomers that we had before, which is, a kli cheres should accept tumah even from its back, from its outside. Umah kol kelim shemitamim aviran. All the other kelim don't have tumah except through maga and not through avir. Mitamim migaban, and they do have tumah. They can accept tumah from their outsides. Kli cheres shemitamim aviro. A kli cheres which accepts and conveys tumah through its avir. Inu din shemitamim migabo. Certainly, it should be able to receive tumah from its back. Amar kra b'chol kli patuach asher in samid patil alav. Ezu kli shetumato kodemet lepitcho. Rabbi Omer, ze kli cheres. That is a kli cheres. What is the utensil by which the tumah comes through its petach, which is the kli cheres? Now there it says, evichi ein samid patil alav hu detameh. If it doesn't have a seal on it, that's how it becomes tameh. Hayesh samid patil alav tahor. If it does have a seal on it, it remains tahor. That's true in a ohel mate. If you have kli cheres that is totally sealed on the top, it doesn't accept tumah. Well, the only way that could work is if the gav of the kli cheres doesn't accept tumah. The gav of the kli cheres accepted tumah, it would become tameh, and then it would be allowed tumah to penetrate to anything that's inside of it. The fact that samid patil alav works for a kli cheres shows you that gabo is tahor, and the reason we're speaking about a kli cheres there is because it's kli patuah, the one that through its opening accepts tumah. That's aviro, and that's the kli cheres. So now we'll do it the opposite way. You call a kelim mitamim aviran mikav v'chomer. Let's say all of the kelim should have tumah in Aviro. Ma Kli Cheresh ein mitamei migabo mitamei ma'aviro. Kli Cheresh, which doesn't have tuma migabo, only, but does have me'aviro. Kol Kalim shemitamei migaman. They that do accept tuma from their outsides, and Udin shemitamei ba'aviran, certainly should be able to accept tuma from their Avira Makra, Tocho. Tocho shel zeh, below Tocho shel acher. The din of Tocho is a unique din inside of Kli Cheresh, which is only the inside of a Kli Cheresh has this din. No other inside has this. Now, the Gemara is obviously going to challenge this from the fact that we need the word Tocho. We just darshan the word Tocho. And how do you know that this Tocho is Tocho shel zeh, not Tocho shel acher? Now you have too many drashot for the word Tocho. That's what the Gemara says. We'll continue with tomorrow. Anu Tocho. Hi, Darshino. Didn't we already darshan it? We used two tochos already. When it says, Arba'a tocho ktive. The word tocho appears four times, and therefore the four times that it appears allows for four different drashot to be brought from them, two of which we already discussed in our Gemara, which is the ability to accept tuma for Aviro, and also convey tuma through Aviro. And then one of them is tocho shel zeh, below tocho shel acher, that only the tocho of a kli cheres has this din, nothing else has this din of a kli cheres. Okay, we're going to stop here. At the middle of the way down on Chafei Amud Aleph.